Shut up, everyone.
You can keep texting us, actually. We love you at Sports Radio, 412-928-9370. Someone else making an excuse for George Pickens. Adam, didn't Freiermuth drop an easy pass at the end of the game? He's known as catching everything except in 17-degree weather. Well, what's next? The crowd's too loud?
Yep.
Shut up.
What are we talking
Catch
about?
The football, and Pat should have caught it at the end of the game, too. He'd be the first guy to admit that.
Yes.
You think Pat Freiermuth's going to make an excuse? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And by the way, any excuse is null and void when Cam Hayward puts out an all-pro defensive performance when he's also playing in the same weather. It ain't warmer for Cam. It's not warmer for Cam than it is everybody else. He got a little extra, you know, blubber there and, you know, some insulation. Blubber, probably not the right word. But he's got the flu, and he's swatting passes down like he's Dikembe Mutombo.
Yeah, we're making excuses.
Miss me with any of that.
No.
Excuses. No. They're like bleep holes. Everybody's got them, and they all stink, Doran.
Yep, there you go.
Jason Mackey never makes excuses. He's on with us right now, of course, from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette on the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, guys. I had a college roommate who said excuses are the nails that build the house of failure. And it was a saying so ridiculous that I repeat it to this day. If my kids will say something, I will tell them that, and they look at me like I'm crazy.
Jason, you're a very successful man, but it sounds like is he running some Fortune 500 company or something like that? What's he doing with his life?
No, I don't think so. I think he's a sort of teacher. I don't works in some sort of support school. I struggle to explain what he does. He's not running a Fortune 500 company. I can guarantee you that. He was this funny dude from out east, you know, hunting, total redneck, when he would just say that. And it was like sort of ironic, but I love the saying. And so I've repeated it to this day.
Do it one more time. What is it?
Excuses are the nails that build the house of failure.
I freaking love that.
I love it.
Yeah.
All right, Mackey. Steelers 10-7. Last year they were 10-7. Last year the vibes were better going into the playoffs. You were taking on Josh Allen and the Bills in their place, yet you had won 3 in a row. So I think this is a simple question, but I think it's a complicated discussion. Have they made any progress? Like, are there bright spots to take out of this season that you can then apply to next year and say, okay, this thing's on the right track?
No.
Yeah.
And not enough of them. I don't think so. I mean, I think individually you can look at some things and say they've gotten some pieces. And what I mean by that is Troy Faitanu in his limited action was good. I think you can look at Zach Frazier and say you've got a center. Beyond that, I mean, maybe Peyton Wilson on the other side. I don't think Patrick Queen has been as bad as people maybe say he is or think he is. But I think there are more questions that have, you know, it's going to outweigh the solutions that you found. Like, you don't have enough depth at wide receiver. I don't think they have a quarterback for the future. I don't know what the future at running back looks like. I haven't been all that enamored with Arthur Smith's offense. The defense has dropped off in a big way. Deshaun Elliott would be an answer, too, just to balance that out. That was something that I omitted. But no, Adam, I don't think there's less clarity this year than there was last year. I think there's less optimism this year than there was last year. And I think another year of this only adds to the problem that I'm sure you guys are discussing, and just the fatigue and the frustration with fans that is understandable at this point.
All right, Jason, if the Steelers, this is a two-part question. If the Steelers were to win this game Saturday, how does it look? And if the Ravens were to win this game Saturday, how does it look?
All right, Doran, the first part of that, the only path I see for the Steelers here is if Lamar Jackson gets back in his own head. If, you know, some of the issues that he's had throughout his career against the Steelers resurface, some of the issues that he's had in the playoffs against all teams resurface. I mean, they need Lamar Jackson to be just an absolute mental case out there and turn the ball over and whatever. I think the more likely outcome is honestly similar to what we saw in this last meeting, where the Ravens control the line of scrimmage, the Steelers are unable to stop Derrick Henry, and Lamar just builds on what he does the last time. And I think that's more likely. I don't think the Steelers have it in them, whether it's communication issues, whether it's an inability to stop the run. I don't think still we've seen nearly what Lamar Jackson has to offer in a Steelers matchup. I think, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if he goes off for 300 plus three touchdowns, one of his typical Lamar games. But you know, if they were going to win, it was going to have to be with him cratering.
Jason Mackey, the Post Gazette, and 93.7 The Fan joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. We've been kicking this around all morning long, Jason. Who's under more pressure, Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson?
Probably Russell Wilson, I would think. I mean, I don't. That's a tough one.
This, I don't know that it's likely. Yeah. This could be the last game of his career. I mean, you go out there and you suck it up for the fifth game in a row. Yeah. It would have me thinking.
I mean, that's what I'm kind of weighing in my head. Like, even if Lamar Jackson does not perform well, it's not like he's going to be out of a job next season. It's not like anybody's going to look at him and say, oh, well, he can't do it anymore. You know, he's done. He's not the right guy for this. You're probably going to look at him and say he's one of those guys that performs extremely well in the regular season. He can't get it done in the postseason. It's going to perpetuate a narrative, but it's not going to hit him in the checkbook. It's not going to affect his work next season. And I don't know if it will with Russ. Also, I mean, this was something we discussed in the pregame show a lot with Mark Cabali and Donnie. And Mark seems to think that, you know, Russell Wilson is still probably back no matter what. I don't see it being that clear cut. I don't think it should be that clear cut. I think he should be playing for his job on Saturday. And if it goes poorly, I don't know how you bring him back in good faith at this point.
Jason, what's the message going to be if the Steelers lose from Art II? Like, what's the message going to be at the end of the season if they do lose Saturday to everybody? He has that at the end of the season conference or whatever. What is the message going to be this year?
Yeah, I've thought about that because it's the same stuff, right? Like you said, it's time to win playoff games. We're upset, sort of, you know, putting his foot down for a sense of urgency, and then the exact same stuff happens. How do you spin that? How do you present that? The only thing I can think of, Doran, is they might lump it on Arthur Smith and say, you know, we feel like we made some progress, not enough. This guy needs time to implement his system. You know, I'm sure they will take ownership of the wide receiver spot. You know, we haven't done enough there. We do feel like we have an outline for what can be a good team. We have to figure out why the defense didn't perform late. I don't think people want to hear it. Like, I think the question with the Steelers is much bigger. Like, why do we keep doing this stuff and sort of digging into the Steelers' way and patience and all this stuff when there's clearly a problem? Like, you don't go 8 years without a playoff win by accident. But I don't see Art coming out and saying, look, our way of doing business isn't working. We really got to take a long, hard look in the mirror and blow some stuff up. Like, the next time he presents that sort of face publicly will be the first.
Jason, my kids are 5 and 1. Are they going to have their own kids with the Steelers not having won a playoff game and Mike Tomlin still the head coach? Like, how long can you let this go? It's going to be, if they lose on Saturday, 8 years. Does it have to get to 10, 12, 15? 24 teams have won a playoff game since the Steelers last won a playoff game. Doug Peterson won a Super Bowl and has been fired twice since the Steelers won a playoff game. How long does it go?
I mean, it should be on Saturday, Adam. I mean, to me, that's the line. Art said what he said last offseason. We have to win playoff games. And no, it's not all Mike Tomlin's fault. That's not a statement defending Mike Tomlin either. There's a bunch that goes into this. And yes, I know that Mike Tomlin will get a job within minutes if the Steelers would fire him. But at some point, you have to realize what you're doing is not working. And it's not just about that number of no playoff wins in 8 years. Like, can anybody objectively look at the Steelers right now and say that this is functional, that this is good, that this is the way of doing things? This is you know, late in the season and the highest paid defense, that it's normal for them to be having communication issues and the breakdowns at the rate they're having, or George Pickens' conduct, for that stuff to be tolerated week in and week out and be the circus that it is? No, it's just, it's not. That's not acceptable. So my line is, you know, win Saturday, they should move. I don't expect them to do that. I don't think they will, but yeah, I wouldn't let it go anymore, man. It's been too long.
Yeah, I already fired him yesterday. Jason, good right. stuff good from you, Adam. As always. We'll hear you on the pregame show coming up on Saturday.
All right,
thanks
guys,
so much
care.
For your time. Take care.
Thanks, have a good one.
You too. Jason Mackey, Post Gazette. A lot of crunchy stuff to chew on there.
Mm-hmm.
I got one for you next.
Do you?
Yeah, I say I'm starting Justin Fields.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I have a compelling argument for why.
Mm.
I'll run it by you.
All right.
You already say you're going with Russ.
Yep.
I look forward to hearing why. We will have the discussion next.
All right.
In the past, you've kind of rotated the quarterback position when you're looking for a spark on offense. How do you evaluate that position going into the playoffs, and is there a consideration of using Justin Moore?
I'm certainly open to utilizing Justin. He has an awesome skill set. We've done some of that in the past. We've done less of it in recent weeks. He experienced an injury or so a couple of weeks back that slowed some of that. But certainly in an effort to win this game, I am open to any combination or combinations of the division of labor in an effort to do so. And so I'm certainly open to that as we develop plans this week.
I'm starting them. I'm Team Justin. You've averaged 14 and a half points per game the last 4 weeks with Russell Wilson. He's supposed to be in there to make good decisions. Well, he threw a terrible pick six against Baltimore, fumbled at the goal line against Baltimore, and then his controller shut off at the end of the Cincinnati game. Super Bowl champion quarterback stays in bounds, tries to lower the shoulder. I don't understand that. So he's not making good decisions. The passing attack, which was supposed to be grown up with him, because it wasn't, I guess, with Justin Fields, it hasn't been. The Ravens have also defended him well, 18 points and 17 points. I'm going with the wild card, Dorn. I'm going with the spark. I'm going with number two. Because you can't run the football now and you're not hitting shots down the field. Maybe Justin Fields allows you to run the football. Also, this offensive line stinks right now. Dan Moore Jr. has turned back into a bumpkin. He's a turnstile. Give me a guy who can escape. I'm going with Fields. I'm upsetting the apple cart. I'm giving them something that I'm sure they're preparing for, but wouldn't expect.
Yeah, I don't hate it. I really don't. I think that they would start with Russ, though, just being realistic to see how it looks, but I think it's a very short leash.
I was going to ask you that.
I think it's a very short leash, man. Like, and if you become desperate, who cares? Show that you're desperate. You need to win a game. Put a short leash. A short leash. If he isn't moving the ball, the offense isn't doing anything, I'm going right with number two.
If you get a turnover from Russ early, assuming that Tomlin's not going to do my thing, and Russ starts the game, if there's a turnover early, I'm going quick hook.
Yep.
It's like a playoff baseball game.
Yep.
If your starter don't have it, make it a bullpen game.
Got to win.
You have to win. And I don't know that even if they do win, that I'm going to come away from this season going, wow, they made huge strides. But if Justin Fields has something to do with it, they haven't won a playoff game in a long time, and you bring in a young quarterback that does, now I can convince myself that maybe they've got a guy in Fields.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to see it for that reason, too. If it is Russ, and we assume it'll be Russ, it does have to be a quick hook.
Yep.
You do need to be prepared to go with the spark.
Yeah, you can't find out this game. Like, you can't find out if Russ can get you back into a football game if you're down, like you said earlier, like 10-0, 14-0, 14-3. You don't have time for that. You have to win. So quick hook, like you said, I'm going right to the young whippersnapper.
But you're going there at first with the Super Bowl winner.
Yep.
They've been outscored 40-3 in the first quarter of the last four games.
Oh, my God.
I laugh. I don't want to laugh, but I have to laugh or else I'll cry. And that's just what they've been in the playoffs, too. Jacksonville 21-0, Cleveland 28-0, KC 35-7, Buffalo 21-0. So my assumption is they're not going to start well. Go with Fields. I wonder if Tomlin didn't use Fields in the Cincy game because he wants him fresh for this one.
100%.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there was a little bit of that story in there of like, okay, this game doesn't really mean anything. I think that there's a little bit of that minutia in there of like some guys, you know, not wanting to show certain things, not wanting to play a guy like Fields as much and not showing anything really what it comes down to. I think there was a little bit of that in that game. But the way they went about the game of creating momentum for the actual players that were on the field just didn't make any sense. You want to create momentum. You want to create, you know, cohesion in getting ready for the playoffs. They did none of that to get ready for this game on Saturday. Nothing.
No. And if they did, then that means that, well, we're going to just be this ground and pound team.
Right. That didn't work.
No. It hasn't worked.
Right.
They've averaged 19 points per game the last 4 years. Like, forget about the OC. Forget about the quarterback. This is a Tomlin thing. If you're going to run the ball on the first 12 non 2-minute drill, first downs. I would rather it be read option stuff.
Right.
You know, like,
yes,
if you're going to do it, then at least have a quarterback that can scoot a little bit. This guy can't scoot. Texter. At 412-928-9370. Text line brought to you by Egger Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. They say, medium leash. I'm pulling the trigger on the switch to Fields. The offensive drive before the half, get a spark in time to get a mini game plan at the half. Well, they'll have a game plan for that going into the game, or at least you would think that they would. We don't, no. There's no medium leash here. We're going short leash or we're going long leash. What do we want? A Pomeranian? I don't need a medium leash. Texter, Ravens see a better version of Justin Fields in practice every day.
No, that's your scout team.
I mean, I was thinking about it from that standpoint, though, Dorn. Not that exact standpoint, but if you would go with Fields, you're just the Michelob ultra version of the Ravens.
You are.
Like, oh, we don't have Derrick Henry, we got this Najee guy. We don't have Lamar Jackson. We got this Fields guy.
That doesn't mean that their defense can stop it in practice if they do go against Lamar Jackson.
Well, and that's right, too, because I still think the Steelers' defense has better players than Baltimore's. Like, I don't think that's a hot take. Give me something different. Give me something funky.
It has to get creative a little bit. You know, that's kind of what I'm right on, for even for them to have a chance, because if it's the same stuff, like, I mean, you might as well not even show up in Baltimore.
Well, what can you change if it's Russ? I think tendency, like, okay, maybe mixing a few throws early.
Well, yeah, you come out like you did against Cincinnati the first time.
Yeah,
take the ball if you win the toss, you take the ball, you get aggressive, you get to the line, you no huddle, and you get after it. You have to be aggressive against this football team, because if you get down, you aren't coming back.
I was just gonna say the take the ball thing. Mike Tomlin yesterday talking about ball control and keeping it out of Burrow's hands. Meanwhile, Cincinnati has it for 38 minutes, and you defer on the kickoff. Like, make him chase the game. Put the pressure on him. They should take the ball if they win the toss in this game, too. Like, I don't want to fall behind 7-0. They've been falling behind all season long. So when Mike Tomlin talks changes, like, that would be a change. Texter. Number of dumb yinzers who think that Fields is the answer to anything is astounding. If they go to Fields for anything but injury in this game, Tomlin's waving the white flag. Man, you can disagree, but I think saying it's dumb is dumb. I think there are merits to start the Super Bowl winning quarterback. I do. But that same guy lost them the Ravens game, and you're averaging 14.5 points the last four games. And if possible, it looks more woeful than the numbers would indicate.
So if this texter is basically saying that if the offense stalls out on four drives and Russ throws an interception, you still don't go to Fields? They said just based off of injury?
Right.
Like, it's one and done. Like, you don't have another game after this.
Waving the white flag would be leaving the bad quarterback in, yes, if he plays bad. Fan Morning Show Twitter poll brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. Three Twitter polls. When you buy a shirt at the store, do you wash it before you wear it? 60% of people say no. We all say no. Who's under more pressure, Lamar Jackson or Russell Wilson? Most people saying Lamar Jackson. And is Russell Wilson playing for his Steelers career on Saturday night? So far, Dorn, 90% of people are saying yes. I think he should be. I don't think he is. And we'll get to that coming up in a minute. But we said we would talk to you, the people. And so we start out with Alex in Brookline. By the way, where's Angela at Beachview? I thought she would have taken up a full segment yesterday. Now I'm concerned. I hope she's okay.
Oh, she didn't call in
she
yesterday?
She didn't call in yesterday.
Oh, no.
She didn't call in yesterday, did she? I would have remembered.
No.
She would have said something about my rugged good looks.
Right.
Alex in Brookline, hello.
Hello. Hi, guys. Listen, if Russ comes out and throws a pick six or an interception early, you got to go with Fields. They should be going with Fields anyway on fourth and shorts, third and shorts near the goal line. However, this play calling, if they come out and they throw a little pitch left to Najee to begin this game, we're done anyway. It don't matter who the quarterback
is. The Steelers sucked wind at the end of the first half, but you felt like they had played themselves into the game. And in the first play of the second half, they run the toss, and it just gets destroyed. And then they had to get Cordero one touch.
Of course.
They got him one touch. What a career he's had. What a career. What a start to the season it looked like he was going to have. But he ain't that guy anymore. Why? Why? We're asking this question. Short leash, long leash for Russ in this game. 412-928-9370. Dorn and I both say short leash. Like, I'd like Justin to start the game. But since he won't, if Russ is really stinking up the joint, get him out of there. What do you have to lose? You're paying him $1.2 million anyway. Don't worry about hurt feelings. Mm-mm. Tim, North Hills, hi.
Guys, Steelers Nation, listen to me. Okay, I'm looking at the players on the Ravens. I'm looking at the players on the Steelers. I guarantee the Steelers will win this weekend. I mean, Zay Flowers, you know, if he plays, I don't think he will, but if he plays, he's not going to be 100%. And then you're telling me Rashad Bateman and Nelson Aguilar are the best they have? The weakest part of the Steelers' defense is the corners, and they're matching up a bunch of, against a bunch of scrubs. And then look at the corners on Baltimore. Besides Humphrey, I mean, I don't, these guys are ass. I don't even know who they are.
I hate to say this, but Isaiah Likely and Mark Andrews could absolutely beat the Steelers if that's all the passing game is.
Doran, I would agree with you, but I mean, look at all – if that's how it goes down, I'll be very disappointed in how much money they're spending on linebackers and safeties. And no one can cover them. I mean, they match up. Minka should be covering them. Mm-hmm. Patrick Queen should be helping out. Like, to me, on paper, if the Ravens, if Zay Flowers is fully healthy, I mean, he killed them last time. But I just don't see, if the Steelers lose this game, I mean, at least for me, my mind will be blown. So I think, I guarantee a win. There's no way they lose some to this team, in my opinion.
Tim, if the Steelers win the football game, call and we'll get you on Reddit at 6 o'clock on Monday.
Well, my daughter might have something to, my toddler might have something to say about 6 o'clock, so I'll call in after she's awake. So.
All right. Well, we hope we're talking to you on Monday morning, Tim. Mm. Thank you.
All right, sounds good.
Is he sniffing glue? I mean, you can't guarantee. How can anybody guarantee a Steelers win?
No, you can't.
You've lost four straight. They've won four straight.
Yeah, there's nothing that tells us. Like, I don't even see a path. Right now, I mean, our opinions and our thoughts change. Obviously, during the week, I think people know that. So by Friday, I'll probably see a path to victory, a possible victory. But right now, I see zero path.
I think the path is you play defense like you played it on Saturday. I think the defense was pretty good on Saturday. Spotted them 10, which if you do that, you're losing. But you hold them to 19, I think you got a shot. I think you got a shot. I think you can hold them to 19. I think it's all about Lamar. That being said, Russ lost the second game between these teams.
Yep.
And he didn't play well in the first game either. I mean, they kicked 6 field goals. One of the few positives this year, Chris Boswell. Guess who's making kicks all of a sudden, by the way?
Tucker.
Justin friggin' Tucker. Of course he's making kicks. Do you think Russell Wilson's playing for a Steelers career?
No.
I don't think so either, man.
I think that if he doesn't play well, that they will offer him a contract in their world where it's feasible to bring him back, and I think that he'll bite at that, and it won't be breaking the bank.
Yeah,
that's what they want.
If you lose this game, that makes 5 in a row, and 4 of which at least you played really poorly in. You're not going to be fighting off people with sticks for this guy in the offseason. And then you're thinking, okay, we're going to pay him more than 1.2, but you're not going to have to pay him 40. You're not going to have to pay him 30 in all likelihood because you're not bidding against yourself. You're not even going to franchise tag him because that's too rich. So you can go cheap at quarterback again. Maybe so cheap you keep Fields, which, okay. And then you pay money for a wide receiver and you draft a wide receiver and you got Broderick at left and you got Feltona, whom they love at right, and you're going to talk yourself into Russ wasn't the problem. It was the cast of characters around Russ. Mm-hmm. It was roster construction.
Mm-hmm.
I would be stunned. Was it Timmy? Timmy! Tim guarantees the Steelers are going to win. I almost guarantee that they're going to bring Russell Wilson back no matter what.
Yeah, I think so.
But I don't think that should be the case. Like, why am I paying for a guy, even with everything that I just said that they would convince themselves of, why am I paying for a guy that went 0-5 at the most critical juncture of the season?
Because, you know, you think that, okay, we can surround him with better resources and he can be really good with better skill players around him.
I don't know if I'm seeing that anymore, but I think that's how they view it.
Probably.
I think that's how they view it. They should have traded up for Bo Nix, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
You said Brian Thomas, Bo Nix.
Bo Nix in the second round, Brian Thomas in the first round. But Bo Nix went, Denver traded up for him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember if they traded. That's a long time ago now. Yeah. Bleacher Report says the Steelers should draft Ashton Jeanty with their first round pick. If the Steelers draft a running back in the first round, I'm just going to record my shows for the rest of the year because I know exactly how the season's going to go. It is 844. Time to make that call to the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums. 724-443-5610. Tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. In the Fan Morning Show, we are always proud of this. Brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. We're going to go around the NFL coming up next. What are the best three teams in the playoffs? What are the worst three teams in the playoffs? What's the best job that's open right now from a head coaching perspective? What's the worst job? We'll get into all that. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Route 19 in Peters Township. Rid of that piece of paper. It made me read it wrong. Someone texts in. We had Tim call up in the last segment and guarantee a Steelers victory. And then we said, yeah, we ain't seeing it. And they said, the NFL is literally every given Sunday, guys.
Mm.
Joke's on you, game's on Saturday. No shot. No shot. Can we get a Sunday game?
It's crazy.
What do you got? You got to be Joy Taylor around here to get a Sunday game? Allegedly.
Allegedly.
We're good. Allegedly. All right. Jets are coachless, Jags are coachless, Pats are coachless, Bears are coachless, Saints are coachless. What's the best job?
Bears, Patriots or Jags.
I'm so unbelievably out on Trevor Lawrence.
I am too, but I feel like they still have some weapons. They still have, you can revitalize him. He still has some pedigree. I'd probably say Jags than Patriots.
I would go Patriots. And then I think I'd go Bears. I'm a bigger believer in Caleb Williams than I am Trevor Lawrence.
Really?
Yeah.
Because
he's also cheaper. He's on that rookie deal going into year two.
That is true. That is
true. So you should be able to, and they got weapons too, and you should be able to build a little bit more around him.
That's a good point.
I think Lawrence is what he is. Now, you could make the argument that Herbert, what went on in Los Angeles before Harbaugh got there, maybe there's some of that in Lawrence, although I think Herbert's always been the better player. All right, let's rank. Well, which one's the worst?
Jets. Jets. I mean, I can see this. If Vrabel's going to be the coach of the Patriots.
Yeah.
Ben Johnson will be the coach of the Bears.
If I'm Ben Johnson, I don't do that, though. As much as I just said that that is my second sexiest job, the Packers with Love, the Vikings, and then the juggernaut that is the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, if I'm Ben Johnson, I would assess the situation, like how good do I think my team right now is going to be, which is the Detroit Lions, because if I'm in division, then that's who I'm going against. Like, do I have a shot to beat them? Like, are guys going to, you know, are their contracts going to expire? Are they going to move on? Like, how good are the Lions actually going to be? That's what I would assess if I was going to take the Bears job.
And now they won't have me, and I think very highly of myself if I'm Ben Johnson. Their defensive coordinator is going to be gone, too.
Glenn, yes.
Yeah.
I think he'll go to Jags.
That'd be a good hire.
Yeah.
How about Lou Anarumo was like the hot candidate or one of them a few years ago, and then he gets kicked to the curb.
Yep.
Who are the which are the three best teams in the playoffs right now? Your three favorites.
Of both sides?
Yeah.
NFC?
Yeah.
Man, it's tough. I'm going to go Lions, Bills, Chiefs.
I got Lions, Bills, Eagles, and I probably shouldn't omit the Chiefs. Perhaps I just have Chiefs for fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always didn't have a problem with them. They've become the Patriots in my eyes now. They've won too much that they annoy me, and they win mystically. Like, there's so many games they should have lost this year, could have lost this year, and didn't, and I just want to smack Patrick Mahomes upside the head. I got nothing against him personally. I just want to kick Travis Kelce in the groin.
Yeah.
I have so much fatigue.
Who is the biggest sleeper in the playoffs?
Ooh.
This is a good one. It's a lot harder than you think, looking at this list right here.
I think it's hard. I think Baltimore could win the whole damn thing. Do they count as a sleeper?
No. I mean, so you have so sleeper teams. Let's go: Broncos, Texans, Chargers, Vikings, Rams, Commanders, Buccaneers.
I don't think I'd want to play the Rams.
Yep. Yep.
Did you see what they did to the Bills a couple of weeks ago? If Matthew Stafford, that was just. Sometimes you look and you go, man, the Bills just played terrible defense.
I'll throw the Packers in there too. If you want the Packers now.
Well, think about how the NFC compared to the AFC. And you said this during the break, that we thought the AFC coming in was going to be the stronger conference. The Eagles win the division. They win a whole bunch of games. I think you can make an argument they're the best team in football. And their gift for doing all those wonderful things is a Green Bay Packers team? Like, holy cow.
Crazy.
I think Green Bay Packers could have won the AFC North. Like, there's a few divisions I think the Packers were good enough to
win. Didn't they beat the Eagles last year?
No.
In the playoffs? I think so.
They beat the Cowboys.
That's right.
They kicked the hell out of them.
Yeah, they whooped them.
It was the Buccaneers that beat
Buccaneers, that's right.
That beat the Eagles. Buccaneers looked awful on Sunday.
Yeah, they did. They were trying to get out of that game.
So the we're not saying the Ravens are a
no
dark horse.
No. No, they're a division winner.
Think about what happened to Minnesota, too.
That's now,
you get
terrible.
Your butts whooped, but you're a win away from getting to sit on your couch this weekend and play all your games in Skullville in that beautiful dome with that awesome home field advantage. You lose. You're the 5 seed. You go to Los Angeles across country. You play on Monday, which means you're going to be then on short rest the following week. It's a cruel world, man.
Tough.
All right. Coming up next, Steelers 10-7. They were 10-7 last year. Can we make any arguments that the franchise is moving in the right direction? Can we make any? 412-928-9370. We'll take a stab at it. We'd love you to take a stab at it, too, on the phone lines. Again, 412-928-9370. It's Fan Morning Show.